The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
And we're going to roll immediately now into the third and final panel, which is the legislative perspective. And as Matt and Patrice come up for that, thank you, gentlemen. To save time, I will introduce them as they walk in. Matthew Johnson is Chief Counsel in Senator Cornyn's office. Senator Cornyn, as you've already heard on more than one occasion here, was the principal collaborator, to use that word, with Senator Leahy on the Senate side for this bill, going back to efforts that began in late 2004, early 2005, and knows an awful lot, as the gentleman on the previous panel did, about what process led to this finally coming to culmination this year. And Patrice McDermott is director of the OpenTheGovernment.org, the organization that Rick Bloom used to be with. And prior to that, I know Patrice was with the American Library Association and OMB Watch, and has been very active in this area of government information policy generally for a good long time, and actually is also here armed with some information about how things are looking on the House side of Capitol Hill as well, in order to provide that counterpoint point with Matthew. So I'm just going to turn it over to them and ask them not only about what they think about what Congress has already done, but what they think about what Congress might reasonably be imagined or expected to do in the future, perhaps even in the very near future, this year, not just next year, let alone 10 years from now in the next part of the cycle. So whoever wants to go first, if you guys worked it out, which you prefer? Oh, all you have to do is tap this lightly. That's a blink screen on the top.
Okay. Am I on? Sure.
There you go.
First, I want to thank Dan and thank American University for inviting us here, and thank all of the panelists who preceded this panel, all of those who worked so hard on the legislation, gave us input, support throughout the process, and really helped carry it over the goal line. I would start by saying that we're happy, we're very happy, very pleased with the outcome, but we're certainly not satisfied. And I think that there's more work to be done, and as Dan alluded to, I'll have some thoughts, I think, to share about what that work would entail, but certainly it will entail vigorous oversight. From the get-go, we see some provisions effective immediately, some phased in, some, I think it's safe to say, a reluctant executive branch will not move until they have to in late December, early January next year. The dynamic that you saw with this bill, Chairman Leahy, who has been an ardent champion of FOIA reforms throughout his career, teaming up with a first-term junior senator from Texas, who as a state executive became familiar with the open government laws, enforced them as Attorney General of Texas, came to the Senate promising to, in his words, bring a little Texas sunshine to Washington, D.C., and I think has begun to fulfill that promise. Like I said, we are not satisfied. We think there's more work to be done. But I think the teamwork of Leahy and Cornyn was essential on this bill. And as Senator Cornyn continues to ascend in Republican leadership, continues to gain notoriety and stature in Washington, D.C., I think there is a lot of potential for not to be presumptuous about any reelection campaign. I don't want to even predict that, but let's assume Senator Cornyn returns in 2009. I could see a partnership on FOIA being very FOIA and general open government legislation being very fruitful for a number of years to come. I think it's something unique that you have not had. I would say even since the beginning of FOIA, a partnership of left-right dedication to this issue. And I don't think it's an accident that you saw Senator Kyle come all the way from being an opponent, not just an opponent, but someone who held the legislation, to being a key negotiator in the end and a co-sponsor of the legislation. And I think that speaks to Senator Cornyn's commitment to bring the gospel of open government to fellow conservatives, fellow Republicans. And my hope, and I know it's the Senator's hope, is that that will continue, those efforts will continue to bear fruit in the coming years.
Matt, would you go so far as to say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I certainly did enough of that with Gary before, would you go so far as to say that this might now have ushered in a new era of bipartisan handling or a bipartisan approach to the FOIA that might last many, many years? In other words, might even transcend Senator Cornyn and Senator Leahy in particular, but sort of establish a new dynamic on the Hill, a new trend, so to speak, where FOIA matters and maybe openness and government matters in general are handled on a bipartisan basis.
I don't know if I would go that far. I really do think so much of this depends upon individuals and personalities and their own commitments. And I wouldn't dare to say that Senators Cornyn and Leahy will always agree on every reform. They don't. But I think you see in this legislation, I hope we will see in oversight efforts this year and beyond, a commitment to changing the ethic in the federal government, in the executive branch, as it views its relationship to the FOIA and to requesters. And I think that is something that my boss will continue to pursue so long as he's in the Senate, until he's satisfied that we really have changed the ethic of the federal government with respect to open government.
So is it fair to say that Senator Cornyn is like-minded with Senator Leahy? When Senator Leahy issued that statement on January 2nd, which basically said this is the first ray of sunshine, and just as you said about Senator Cornyn, he's not entirely satisfied, and now we're looking to make further changes or to go further. Is that something about which the two can fairly be thought to be like-minded?
Sure. There were lots of ideas, lots of proposals. We discussed sort of the dropping of the provision that would have been more of a stick to agency untimeliness, losing exemptions. There are lots of ideas out there. Not all of them are derived from the FOIA. There are lots of open government ideas. I mean, we can even talk about declassification initiatives, other types of sunshine proposals that my boss has been involved with. I think it's not just FOIA. It is an across-the-board effort. Again, they won't always agree.
Such as the funding one that was spotlighted just this very week, as a matter of fact, for example. Patrice, how does things look from your perspective as someone who was actively involved in the process for many years and this past year in particular?
I think they look hopeful. You know, we've heard from the Senate side that they're happy to have a bill, but not satisfied that it gets us everything that is needed. I think we've I've heard from the House side that they're also, you know, not locked into a 10-year cycle on amending the FOIA, and they feel that there were important provisions in their bill that didn't make it through in the final version, the B3 exemption, having to both have criteria from that were laid out in the 74 amendments, and also to notify in the language of a B3 exemption that it is exempting, it's creating an exemption to the FOIA. You know, that was very important. It was very important to Senators Cornyn and Leahy as well, but the changing it from an and to an or, I think, was significant enough to drop it rather than have it blow up what was achieved in the 74 amendments. So I think, you know, the House, my conversations with House staff, they said that, you know, they expect GAO to do their annual report, and that if it's hearing worthy, they will have a hearing on it. You know, there are many people in our community who will be doing studies and reports, and we anticipate there being hearings on those. I am very happy to hear that Senator Cornyn is committed, and I'm sure Senator Leahy is, to real oversight and ongoing oversight of this legislation, because I think that's been one of the things that has been most lacking. We had, a 10-year, essentially, hiatus in oversight hearings on, we still haven't had really good oversight hearings on the implementation of the E-FOIA amendments, much less how this legislation is going to be implemented. So, you know, there are a number of things, and we're hopeful. I mean, the fact that we have what the conservative community calls a transpartisan, not just bipartisan, openness and effective government and government accountability is not a partisan issue, and it's not just a bipartisan issue, it's a transpartisan. It overarches partisan lines. And we're very pleased that on the Senate side, and to some extent on the House side, that there are these commitments and these efforts to move ahead with this.
Well, if anything could lead to breaking the mold of that 10-year cycle, almost like cicadas coming around regularly, it would be that sort of bipartisan
Absolutely.
Or transpartisan approach, the type of thing that's very unique between Senators Cornyn and Leahy, that's for sure, right. And also would be entirely consistent with the findings provision of S-2488. These are provisions that are not codified in the statute. You won't see them at the very end of your handout here today, but you will see them right at the beginning of the bill. And one aspect that ties to oversight is that finding number 6 says Congress should regularly review Section 552, both on the House and the Senate side. And also there's a little bit of language in here about Congress should determine whether further changes and improvements
yes.
are required.
Right.
It doesn't say further changes every 10 years.
Right.
It says further changes, period.
And some of us are going to be retired within 10 years.
Well, that's all the more reason for
that's right.
pressing for changes
that's right.
sooner rather than later, perhaps building around that kernel of the Exemption 3 provision
right.
in Section 8 of the predecessor bill that kind of dropped down at the last 5 minutes. And that says some other things that were dropped out as well.
Well, the CII, the critical infrastructure information provision, you know, it was a very weak provision to start with in the Senate bill. It was just a reporting requirement, but it was going to be further weakened by Senator Bennett, who some of us know had a history in the way that bill was written in the
Absolutely,
first place.
Absolutely, yes.
And so that got dropped rather than further weakened. But that's something that Mark, component of the public interest community, is very concerned about and would like to see addressed. FOIA component in that. And we hope that that's something that will be addressed. If not, we would prefer in this Congress, if not in this Congress, very early in the next, Senator Cornyn comes back. And then, you know, for oversight hearings, I'll just do my long list quickly. The use of Exemption 6, there are many in our community that think that the privacy exemption is being overused and over improperly used to withhold information that should be public. The use of the law enforcement privacy exception 7C has been vastly expanded. And that's something that we think there really needs to be somebody look very closely at, you know, how these exemptions that were written into the early act have been expanded over time and the impact that that has had and will have in the future if they're left as they are, will have on the ability of the public to get information about its government and to hold its government accountable. And that's something that has just come up recently that is another thing that, you know, might be in a new FOIA bill is we've just learned recently that the Smithsonian Institution issued a directive last November talking about how they will act in the spirit of FOIA, but there's all this stuff they're not going to give you, including anything that would compromise the business ventures of the Smithsonian, not of their contractors, but of them, the confidentiality of their business practices. And so, you know, some of us are starting to think, well, maybe the definition of agency needs to be expanded to include entities like the Smithsonian that are heavily government funded and that have a public trust, but who are, you know, have been found not to be an agency. So, you know, there are lots of little pieces and not so little pieces that can be addressed in the, if not this year, in the upcoming years. So we look forward to working with Senators Cornyn and Leahy and Representative Waxman and the other interested folks on the House side. And we're very much looking forward to working with Senator Cornyn on the funding transparency. We're very happy to see him step forward as an openness advocate in the more general sense.
I'm sure Matthew can't speak to the likelihood, let alone or possibility, of there being oversight hearings on the Senate side this year. It's too early. The Senate's not even back yet. It's a matter that has to be worked out on a bipartisan basis between Senator Cornyn.
We don't control the
chairman. That's right. You don't control the schedule at all. It would be up to Chairman Leahy. And I know Chairman Leahy has someone who testified before him back in 1992 in election year. He tends to call these years the silly season. He doesn't necessarily like to have hearings. But over on the House side, I do know, and we've spoken about this, I think, that the House subcommittee with jurisdiction over the FOIA, chaired by Representative Clay, there is a very strong possibility, if not even a likelihood, from what we gather, that they will have at least one oversight hearing, perhaps not as early as Sunshine Week in March, more likely during the month of April. So there may be a lot of activity there. They may be the first out of the box, so to speak. Even though the Senate took the lead on this bill, the House may be the first to take the lead on overseeing the implementation of it. And maybe that's only fair. The Senate did all the heavy lifting on getting the law enacted, and now let the House do some heavy lifting on the difficult issues of implementation.
Well, in fairness to the House, certainly the Senate started drafting its bill and worked with our community, as did Anna Layton on Waxman's staff, very early on, a couple of years ago. But in fairness to the House, they got their bill passed first,
they
back
did.
In March. So,
they did.
Yeah,
in March.
In March during Sunshine Week.
And then it took an awful lot of time.
Yes, it did.
For things to overrun.
Yes, they
the
did.
Senate.
But just to be sure. Fair to them.
The Senate is. Oh, go ahead, sorry.
That's not the same bill.
No, no,
Senate
it's not the same bill.
There are two House provisions in there.
The PAYGO
one and the Section 12 provision regarding estimation of, the specification of which exemptions are involved. That is a House-originated provision as well.
Yes.
That was put in at, I guess, Congressman Waxman's behest right at the very end.
Right.
But I guess what we can say is that the Senate has done most of the work now, and now maybe the House will be doing most of the oversight work.
I don't know that the House would agree with that.
Well, see, we don't have
they're
anyone from
here,
the House here.
Yeah.
That's true. And Matthew's not going to...
The Senate did at the end, they did very, very heavy lifting and very heavy negotiations with the White House. And we really are grateful to them for the seriousness with which they engaged us even though we were sort of outweighed by them.
So the bottom line is then that when it comes to legislative outlook, so to speak, we have to look forward to at least the possibility, if not the greatest possibility in a long, long time, of that 10-year cycle mold being broken.
We hope so.
And maybe 2009 or 10 mm-hmm. amendments. And we also have to look forward to the prospect of oversight consistent with the findings provision of the law, probably first from the House side, probably as early as April, possibly from the Senate side, but at least in one body of Congress coming up very soon.
Yes, and we will continue to push both sides for substantive oversight hearings.
I hope he has one more thing he wants to look forward to.
Right.
What would that be, sir?
Well, I would just like to ask a direct question of Matt, and Patrice, maybe you can answer it from your conversations with some folks in the House.
He has the same protection here as Gary Stern did.
What?
No, Matt can say only what Matt can say and not beyond that. So if I answer for him, don't be surprised.
I would prefer you to let him answer. If he doesn't want to answer it, he doesn't have to answer it. A very simple process. Is Senator Cornyn and perhaps Senator Leahy going to reintroduce a Section 8?
I can't speak to that. We haven't had those discussions at a staff level yet.
Any sense from the folks in the House?
No, I haven't heard. Okay. I haven't heard. They're still deciding what they're going to do. They're looking. I think their focus of attention immediately is on the presidential. Libraries and presidential records, but I think, B3 is very important to them. But no, I have not heard from Anna what their immediate plans are. I think they're still sorting that out and trying to sort out their legislative agenda as well and their oversight agenda.
Pete, I think it's fair to say, though, that because there's really no opposition to Section 8, it fell by the wayside due to sort of a technical error, I think, in rush of things. That would be the kernel.
Well, the original Section 8, in fact, passed the Senate in the first session that after the open government bill was introduced initially by Senator Cornyn.
And that was the problem because it actually on its face provided for the exact opposite result than what was intended. That was the error. It was exactly opposite. I think you and I have had that discussion.
No. Section 8 was initially pulled out of the open government bill and passed the Senate as a clean piece of legislation in the initial session in 2005. It got messed up in the amendment process between 849 and 2488 that finally went through the Senate.
And this is purely my own speculation, not based on any insider knowledge, but the fact that the argument was that the 849 language as passed was a drafting error at the last minute, but that Section 8, I don't know what to do about it, but that Section 8 disappeared out of the final bill altogether, I think puts in question the fact that it was a drafting error because it could have been fixed. The drafting error could have been fixed in 2488, and it wasn't. It was removed, the whole provision.
Apparently there was a misunderstanding about what was the legal effect of it, and rather than thrash that through in the interest of time and making sure that the whole process didn't blow up, it was just skipped over. But it provides a logical kernel, as
yes.
people would suggest, for the next round of FOIA amendments.
Right.
Final question over here, I think.
Just a quick question. William Ferrajaro, writer and consultant. And I just had a question for Mr. Johnson that just given the track record of the administration and their views on presidential powers and executive privilege, how did Senator Cornyn get the president, or how did the president come about to see this signing the bill as in his interest?
Is that one you expected to get today, Matthew?
I can't speak for the president's mindset, and I certainly cannot speak to,
or maybe just even your interpretation of how he arrived at it.
Well, I think we engaged in very honest, good faith, substantive negotiations for a number of years with the administration, the Department of Justice being the lead. And I think while, and again, I can't speak for the Department of Justice and the administration, but I think that a number of their most serious concerns were either eliminated or assuaged in some way. And in the end, I think the force of the vote from Congress persuaded the executive that it was in his best interest not to have a veto override. But I don't pretend to know what their reasoning was.
Okay. And just maybe to follow up, if there are people within the administration that should be commended for pushing this issue, it may be in the Justice Department. Can you enlighten us as to who they might have been?
Oh, I think that they can, the administration can speak for themselves on that. Yeah.
Thank you.
That will remain shrouded in mystery as to where they are and the extent to which they were supportive or not in the process.
And as to I think it's safe to say no one from the Justice Department, to my knowledge, acted out of school. I think they all negotiated under the authorities that they were given. There wasn't any back channeling, as I think the 66 the original law. Just looking back at the legislative history, there were apparently some folks in the administration who acted without President Johnson's authority, and to my knowledge, there was nothing like that here.
That's in no small part due to the heavy role played by the Office of Management and Budget in the process as well, as you might imagine. Well, listen, I want to thank everyone for your kind attention today at this program. We had a good long session. We came in now just about 5 minutes over schedule, which is not too bad. I hope this could be the first of many such sessions in the future as we gather the FOIA community here to talk about things that are of concern. And I can tell you that the next such program will be on Monday, March 17th, the first program on the actual week of Sunshine Week. There'll be one at the museum on Friday the 14th, and then there'll be other programs as well, including one that Patrice's organization has on Wednesday the 19th. And you can find all of the information pertaining to that, as well as a lot of information pertaining to the 2007 FOIA amendments, as well as the handouts from here today, and eventually the podcast or webcast for this program on the Collaboration for Government Secrecy website. So we look forward to seeing you all again here on March 17th, and to your bookmarking that CGS website to get your best and most up-to-date information on this subject, as well as others with respect to openness in government. Thank you again for your kind attention.